Welcome to Stories of COVID, the interview project that explores what it's like to experience a global pandemic.
I never thought I would see this in my lifetime.
It is scary and it's very real, but it's not hopeless.
As I said, I changed 3 planes. None of them were wearing any gloves or masks.
I've never seen so much support for freelancers or artists in the media as I have now.
They both laid me off from just the advent of the outbreak.
I'm anthropologist and author Veronica Curran, and I am building an interview archive of stories and anecdotes that define this time in history. If you have an experience that you'd like to share, check out the show notes to sign up for an interview. At the end of each episode, I ask the participant to frame final words for future generations who may be looking back on this pandemic with curiosity, wonder, or the need for knowledge, just as we are looking back at the Spanish flu of 1918. These words don't always make it into the final podcast episodes, so every 10th episode will be a special edition of the final thoughts of the previous 10 participants.
If I look at the course of my life, and I look at the course of time over the last years, centuries, stuff's always going to happen. When I started researching the Mother Nature book, I went back to the Black Plague, and I went back to the Spanish flu, and I went back to the fact that aside from technology, aside from anything, there's always going to be aberrations, there's always going to be viruses, and viruses, by their very nature, are adaptive. They are bred to survive, just like a cockroach. And so the lesson is that viruses are going to come, viruses are going to go. Crises are going to come, crises are going to go. You don't need to embrace that crisis. You don't need to make it your own personal story. It's just something that's happening. It's like you're driving along the road and there's a restaurant and you pass the restaurant and now it's in your rearview mirror. You don't need to fixate on that restaurant because it's going to be there whether you're looking at it or not. And as a guy who is spiritual in nature, understanding that everything's going to pass, including my life and your life and everyone else's life and everything, there's always going to be something that taxes us. There's always going to be something that makes us grow strong. And if that's what this is, if this was a way for Mother Nature, if God, the universe, however you want to define it, if this is a way for us to become stronger as individuals and as a species, then, you know, sometimes hard lessons have good outcomes.
It's what you make it, you know. It could be the best experience of your life or the worst experience of your life. You know, you can be stuck on a desert island and it can be a very, very depressing and lonely experience. Or it could be, oh, finally, I get a break, you know, I can have some peace and quiet. So, you know, if there's another crisis in the future and the electricity goes off, the internet goes off, everything, you could start having panic attacks, or it could lead to a spiritual awakening. You know, you start to walk out in the forest. You know, imagine on a mountain there's two huts, yeah, and two old men living in there. One of them's very unhappy and one of them's really happy. And one of them, you know, he was born in the hut. He grew up there. He's never seen anything else in the world. He feels like he's imprisoned there and always wanting possessions and money and rich and what he would do. And he's never been able to achieve it for whatever reason. And the other guy came from New York and had a advertising firm and was rich beyond his wildest dreams and was so unhappy. And he always dreamed of one day going to the south of Italy and living in a hut and having no worries. And, you know, so it's perspective. If you can just, you know, if you have to be locked in your house and doing something, make it the best time of your life, and you make your own reality.
You are more powerful than you think, and there are always people out there trying to do their best. One day, when the time is right, don't hesitate to connect and shine and do the best you can. But remember to be compassionate to yourself and understand your limitations and just do the best you can.
To not be so negative about it. I know it's easy whenever it seems like you're surrounded by death to kind of feel dragged down, but to just be patient and do what you can do to keep yourself afloat, because I know that I went through some really dark times during, especially the beginning of the pandemic. You know, there were times like I had no idea. I mean, I struggled with my own mental health, and mental health is so important. And I mean, that you have to take care of yourself. Like, first and foremost, take care of yourself.
I think that what I have learned from this, in spite of being so profoundly disappointed in the individual choices that people make in the governmental institutions and businesses, policies, in spite of being very saddened and depressed by that, I've also been really amazed by the resilience of people. One of my best friends is a nurse in New York, and she's been in the depth of it every single day. And, you know, I don't know how she does it or did it. In Atlanta, there was pretty rapid, like, organizing of mutual aid, a whole system that just sort of came together so quickly of getting food from Trader Joe's or other grocery stores that donated, bakeries, this whole system of like having a database of like seniors and people who are food insecure, knowing what their allergies were, whatnot, putting all these boxes together, but knowing don't put any peanuts in this box, or, you know, this person doesn't like tomatoes, so don't like putting tomatoes in their box. And then just driving them around and dropping them off at people's places. I was like, this is really amazing. I mean, it gives you some insight into the ways that people might really handle another catastrophe like this in the future. There's that new show on HBO, I can't remember what it's called, but it's something about like, there's a virus that wipes out most of the world. And it has this kind of unusual post-apocalyptic take, which is like, this is like a theater troupe of actors and writers who are going around and trying to like preserve like the good things in life. In spite of this, like, you know, it's always this dystopian sci-fi, like apocalyptic thing, but this is like showing how people would find something good in an objectively catastrophic situation. So I don't know, I think I've seen that in people. I think we've seen the best and the worst of people in a lot of ways.
So there will be another pandemic. I absolutely 110% guarantee it. There will be new viruses, they will come up. And for me, I think the lesson that I want them to look back on is twofold. One of which is be guided by the science, because scientists are intrinsically trying to stand on the shoulders of all the giants that have gone before them, to just look over the top of the current wall to see if they can see what's going on. Because and you know, I know that scientists have got to learn better to communicate, because we're appalling at communication, because we talk in jargon and things which we understand, which it's taken us years to learn, and we talk in jargon, and we don't dumb it down nearly enough in order to make it easy to understand. But for me, the importance is, listen, those scientists are working hard to understand the situation, and they genuinely sometimes don't understand what's going on, and they're looking for answers. Give them the time and space to do that. Stop doing that. The second thing I'd say, if you're looking for stories to say it won't be so bad, is the massive advances that science has made in understanding how to sort of respond to things like this have come up with some tremendous answers to problems. Vaccines, drugs and things like that. The speed at which the vaccines were developed in this last 2 or 3 years is because huge amounts of work have gone into this before. So can I ask the future generations, for goodness sake, fund it. Don't leave it and say, we'll find the money again next time. You know, we have got to continue to sort of give the sort of resources that science has needed in a rush for a continuous development. A lot of people spend a lot of money on armies and weapons because they might be needed one day to defend against somebody who could do something bad. Think of viruses as being even more dangerous than other people's armies, and put some money into protecting the world from a rogue virus that just appears from nowhere, or a rogue bacteria, or even worse, rogue asteroids or rogue carbon dioxide materials that are sort of floating around that are going to do damage. You know, fund that research that's just going to keep us going for a while until we can come up with the answers. And I know it's asking a lot to put money into things for insurance, but you know something? Insurance is not a bad thing when the bad things happen.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel, but the path there is going to be bumpy. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Lean into the resilience of human nature, because that resilience is what's going to get you through it. I mean, we have to be resilient. We have to be able to adapt and pivot. And that's exactly what this has been about, is resilience and being able to pivot and go with that. You know, the more you resist it, like once we stopped waiting for the pandemic to be over and started like leaning into that and saying, okay, well, I got to change. I got to make these adaptations in my life. It was a lot less anxious. It was that waiting of like, God, this is taking forever. Once we stopped waiting and just started going forward, things were a little less difficult.
First of all, be kind. Just, the situation sucks for everyone. And if you're in the middle of a pandemic, especially if you're frustrated with people because they won't get vaccinated or they won't listen to the rules, it's hard not to just immediately want to scream, you're making it worse for everyone, idiot. Scream it internally and then try to ignore them or tell yourself whatever you need to let it go. Everyone's suffering in some way through this, whatever it may be. And you don't know what it is. Which, I mean, that's a good general life philosophy. You don't know what people are going through. Be kind. Also, if you're not in the middle of the pandemic, congratulations. Enjoy life. Also know, scientifically, it's gonna happen again. And with any luck, it won't be in your lifetime. This one came about 100 years after the last major one. But they can happen at any time. Just be prepared. And since it's the future, my future, you'll have even better technology than we do, hopefully. So hopefully it'll be even easier. I say even easier. It's not like it's been easy, but it's got to be easier for us than it was for people in 1918. Stay in touch with people. It's easy to fall in, if you are in the middle of a pandemic, it's easy to fall into quarantining so hard that you don't ever see anyone. Get outside. Feel sun on your face. That's so important. That helps a lot. Listen to the professionals who know what they're talking about. They're not out to get you. They're trying to help you. Be compassionate and understand that they're trying to understand the situation as well while giving the best advice for the public. Unless you are a specialist conducting actual research, please don't assume that anything you read on the internet is God-given truth. Please, please, please trust the scientists. I swear they know what they're doing. I follow what they say and I haven't gotten it. I realize I'm one person. N equals one does not make a study. But please respect the specialists and heed what they're telling you. They're doing the best they can for you. Tell people you love them. That's important. If you love someone, call your parents and tell them you love them. Say hi. Even if you told them yesterday, tell them again today. You can't tell them too much. Tell your friends. Tell your dog. Your dog understands. Or your cat. Or your pet rat, or whatever it is that you may have. They know.
Take care of your mental health. It is so important. This pandemic has taught me how to take care of myself in a way that I always knew I needed to, but I didn't because I wasn't forced to do it. And so taking care of your mental health, in my opinion, truly the best way you can love yourself. And that it's just so, inside or outside of a global pandemic, prioritizing that for yourself will make your career and your personal life and your family life and your friendships so much more meaningful.
I don't know. I kind of see this as like a macrocosm of what life is about, in my opinion. You know, anytime, even with the pandemic, which is just be open to learning about yourself and others through hard times just as much as good ones. And if you can live with an open heart and an open mind, I really believe that you can see the gifts in experiences. Yeah, I think, like, I truly believe that this happened for a reason, and I don't know what that is or if I ever will know, but I certainly have, I've found a lot of meaning in being open to learning and seeing what good has been in this time that's felt so heavy and fearful in a lot of ways.
People are better than the circumstances around them. And it's okay to be willing to be better, to be willing to be good and kind and look forward.
I remember when I made the decision to start informing people back home in the weeks leading up to when, like, they really became a big deal in early March. And I was like, you guys, it's coming and things are going to change a lot. There's a lot of suspicion, but I think my family, some of my friends were pretty, you know, interested in what I had to say. I made my website and I started writing long form articles with pictures and as much as I could do. And there's one article I wrote at the very beginning where I wanted to kind of lay out my perception, just that as far as humans go, we don't have predator threats from nature anymore, except for viruses. And when it comes to, you know, different ideals, like, you know, political or social or just the way we behave normally, everything like a very transmissible virus does takes advantage of things that make us human. So, like, you know, we're social animals, and to fight a virus, we have to not be social animals. We, you know, like debate and all of that, but and we like to make enemies of, or, you know, like opponents of other people, you know, play the blame game, but ultimately the predator is the virus, and it's just a weird dynamic that predator is within us and being spread among us. So I wanted to try and frame people's perspective that, like, you know, forget what normal life is. You have to, you know, battle it. And the way you battle it is denying parts of you that are human.
Episodes are being released as soon as I get the interviews. So subscribe so that you don't miss a thing, and share if this meant something to you and if you think others might benefit. Stay safe. Stay well.